If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Well, listen, Jack Evans is the man that is very much in the news right now, member of the D.C. Council. Of course, the chairman of the D.C. Metro Board, or the Metro Board, and they've got a big rebuilding effort that starts this weekend. He joins us now on the line. Councilman Evans, thanks for joining us here on Mornings on the Mall.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right, so you begin it this week, and I do you think that people are aware of just how bad it's going to be? A lot of stories that I'm seeing, and my own personal sense is that a lot of people don't quite understand how difficult it's going to be come Monday morning.
You know, I think you're right. There's an awareness, but until it actually happens, I'm not sure people are actually focused on it. I can only impart to everyone, please, please, on Monday, make alternative arrangements, leave early, do all the things you need to do in order to get to work on time. We don't actually know what's going to happen. You know, we're going to be closing down parts of the rail system. We're putting extra buses out on the street. The district, yesterday we had a press conference outlining some of the measures we're taking. But until we actually do it, it's going to be hard to determine in what level of inconvenience people are going to be faced with.
Here's what I'm not understanding with regard to the district's response to this. They're getting more circulator buses going, and they're increasing certain aspects of the bike share program. But how does that help people from Vienna or out in Reston and other places getting into the city? They're not going to be riding bikes, and there's no circulator buses down there. I mean, what's the solution for people who are commuting in from Northern Virginia?
Well, each of the jurisdictions are in charge of making the ridership less inconvenient. So I'm not aware of what they're doing out in Northern Virginia or in Maryland, but I do know that they've been working hard on it as well to come up with alternatives. So we'll have to see what they do. Maybe more buses to get to the subway system to go around the problems where we're having the construction. So it's going to take a real coordinated effort. And again, I think once we get into this, it'll probably work better than it will on the first day.
You have privy to the background preparations that are underway to get ready for this rebuilding effort. Do you have confidence that you can keep this thing on track, on schedule, and on budget?
Yes, I do. I think there's a real heightened sense of urgency now with Metro, with the three jurisdictions, with the federal government, that this needs to get done. So we will work very hard in a very efficient fashion to get these repairs made. But I want to warn everyone, a year from now, the system will be safer and more reliable, but we are not going to have a brand new system. We have a long way to go to get this system back to the level it was when we first opened. So it's going to be better, but it's not going to be fixed the way we want it to be.
Well, what will it take to get it fixed the way you want it to be?
It's going to be ongoing maintenance going on for a long, long time, maybe without the inconvenience of the closings that we are doing now, the surges, et cetera. But it's just going to be ongoing maintenance. I don't know when, if ever, we're going to get back to having the system open until 3 in the morning, because we're going to really need that track time to make the repairs and keep the upgrades going. Remember, the reason this happened, there's lots of reasons, but one of the main reasons is the lack of access to the rail system. And now that we're closing parts of it, we're not doing night service after midnight, it gives us better access to it.
So,
but still, it's a daunting job. And not to keep going on this, one of the things we're not addressing at all right now are the new train cars. We're buying 12 a month, you know, 144 a year, but we have 1,200 cars in the fleet, and most of them have to be replaced. And so that's another aspect of this whole area of reliability that we're addressing, but it's going to take time to do all that.
So for decades, taxpayers have been funding Metro, and our understanding has been that ongoing, effective, competent safety and maintenance has been part of the budget, that that's where the money has been going. And clearly, people have now lost their jobs, and clearly, based on what you have said now that you've become chairman and what Mr. Wiedefeld has said now that he's become general manager, is that there was a problem up until this point, and now things are going to get better. But can we look back and talk about some people who had jobs where they were obviously mismanaging taxpayer funds and not doing the job that they were hired to do? That's a misappropriation of government funds, isn't it? I mean, where is all of the maintenance that was supposed to have happened during this time?
You know, it's a great question, and I've asked it a couple of times. Haven't had a chance to focus as much as I would like, as of other board members who are new, is what happened. You know, I left the board back in 2000, 1999, actually. The system was working quite well. It was relatively new at the time. And in that 15-year period, you know, how did this thing fall apart? Was it the general managers who came and went? Was it the board who came and went? The lack of focus, the inability to make hard decisions like we're making now and saying, no, we have to close parts of the system down and keep it in repair. I think there's a whole array of things that at some point I'm going to find out. What happened and who's responsible and how did this fall into such a state of disrepair? It's very frustrating to me, who was involved in building the system, to now come back and see that those charged with taking care of it didn't do a very good job at all.
Listen, I think your heart's in the right place, but I just got to ask you, if you don't understand what went wrong, how could you make sure you're not going to let it happen again?
Well, again, it's not that we don't understand what went wrong. As I mentioned to you, they didn't maintain the system. They didn't replace the wires, so to speak, the cables, the tracks, and everything. And secondly, they didn't allot for the amount of time necessary to do all that. And what I'm concerned about is who were they making the decisions and why did they make the decisions they did? I'm guessing it's because they didn't want to inconvenience the public. You saw what happened a couple months ago when I suggested that we may have to close a line for 6 months. I mean, people went apoplectic, and yet here we are, really closing parts of lines for the next year, not far off the mark of what I was talking about. And so I think there was a resistance in the leadership at Metro to take the hard decisions that would have been criticized. I think it maybe took the closing of it for 29 hours to get people's attention that this is a long process and it's going to take a while to fix the fundamental flaw that you hear me talk about constantly of having built a two-track system that now is coming back to haunt us because you cannot fix a two-track system without closing down parts of one track or both tracks. So it's a daunting task. We're going to get there, but it is a daunting task.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. D.C. Councilmember Jack Evans, thank you so much for joining us here on WML.
Good luck to everybody.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.